back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in my homeland. We're in Dundalk. We are at Costas. It says so behind me on the wall. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Have we had any instant lottery winners yet? No? Kevin Grace just came by with his Joe Gans book. He brought me a gift, and I want to make sure that I get this thing right because of the Joe Gans thing and all this stuff because it made me cry. But he's got – today's turned into this old school thing. Brian Poole was on my 7th grade basketball team. He was the tall white guy we needed in the middle back at Holabird. You know, during that, well, it was actually before the Bad Boys. I don't know, the McHale era. So he is here now to have some crab cakes as well. And Bob Nussgaard's going to be the guest on the show that you've always wanted to hear. He is, I mean, Brian Poole came in a crowing about Kenny Albert and starting my career. And I give Kenny Albert this credit for starting, getting me onto the radio station that created the relationship that became all that. But the guy that really started my career, the only reason I'm really here is Bob Nussgaard. So before I get to Bob, I do want to give a little love to Kevin because today's about me getting rid of nasty T-shirts, Free the Bird shirts. I got Wacko for Flacco signs that I think my previous guest, Tom Pierce, stole from me. And Bob, on the air, I've said for years that the year they gave this Palmer jersey out, I didn't go to the game the night they gave it out. And Kevin brought me this is a 66 Palmer jersey with the 66 lettering.
The real deal.
It's a giveaway. I mean, it's going to be too big for me, and it's going to be cheaply made, I think. But I was downtown the day they gave these things out, and I wanted to have this. So this is the 66 Palmer jersey here. And Kev knows I collect jerseys and Pacifica belt buckles, you know? So, yeah?
It looks good.
Where were you in 66?
Where was I in 66?
Yeah.
I was in Columbus, Ohio.
How old were you in 66? You're older than me, but not by much.
But not by much?
Not. UMBC sponsors.
You're catching
this
up?
Thank you, Freeman. Go ahead. I am catching up to you.
66, I was 9 years old.
But you remember, did you watch the World Series?
Not at that time.
You were more 70
wait,
Reds.
Wait a minute,
you were more Reds.
I did not become a huge sports fan until 1970 with the start of the Big Red Machine.
Right.
And then...
when Brooksy was Robin Lee May and Bobby Tolan, all that.
Okay, so I'll give you the first fun story about me and Brooks.
All right.
Okay.
This is the man who gave me my entire career. Have you ever been on my show?
This is the first.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever. 25 years...
I am hard to get.
...to get Bob Nussgaard on the show. And he drove from Kent Island today.
Well, you pay a lot.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. I'm paying in crab cakes.
So
nobody even knows who you are in my life.
I know.
That's the best part. Go ahead.
I know. Who is
Bob
this
Nussgaard
guy?
Is one of the most significant humans in my life.
You know,
and I'll cry during this segment. So
oh,
go
my
ahead.
God.
Go
Jen, Jen, did you hear that? One of the most significant, you know.
It's true.
Okay.
Without you, they never hear of me.
You know, well, that's true.
And you're on the wrong side of the 70 World Series.
Well,
the right side for, you know, I guess.
And let me tell you, that still pisses me off because that was my first, you know, baseball was my love. You know,
more than Ohio State? More than Archie Griffin?
You know, well, Arch came along in the next couple of years. You know,
so did Cornelius Green.
What?
Cornelius Green, too.
Corny Green.
Yeah, there you go. You like that?
That's very impressive. Very impressive.
I knew a lot. I mean, dude, I was such a sports fan.
Are you up there with Brian Bashnagel?
Yes.
Jim Otis?
Yeah, but I was more Capaletti during that era.
You know,
and then
well,
Joey,
been,
and then,
yeah.
You know, Joey
yeah,
Song.
You,
and
yeah,
all,
yeah,
that,
now
that
you're moving
later.
In the early 70s, right? You know, and that,
but
and
I always
that,
wanted to go to Penn State because of Capaletti.
Yeah. He was a good player.
Yeah.
He was a great player.
Then Archie
Heisman,
came.
You know.
And Archie did
then,
it twice.
You know, but Arch was the first freshman, okay, that Woody Hayes actually put into a game. And the first time Arch got into a game, he fumbled.
Okay. I remember the night Woody Hayes punched a kid.
Yeah.
I remember Mr. Frank Bolk's house with that
you
one.
Know, okay, you know, let's not pile on the old man here. You know.
That was scandalous, wasn't it, at the time?
Yeah.
It was scandalous. All right, so Bob Nussgaard was...
Wait a minute, let me get you the Brooks story.
Oh, okay.
You're jumping
we won.
Ahead.
We had a parade.
Yeah.
Brooks went to the Hall of Fame.
So
Lee May went to the Orioles.
Lee May, who took 10.2 seconds to get down to first base, you know.
That's okay.
No wonder Brooks was able to throw him out from 90 feet off of
third. Why are you trash-talking your own players?
You know. Well, because, you know.
Teach you better than that in Ohio. Come on, man.
Yeah, but we got rid of him to get Joe Morgan. You know?
You still a Reds fan?
Yeah.
Not the way you were.
Well, not
the
way
you were. You've been here for decades, man.
That's true.
Yeah.
So to get to when I first came to Baltimore, okay, when I was at the NA and Newsman, okay, so
the
I
NA,
get my first. Okay,
Bob Nussgaard was. Let me just reset. Can you have some iced tea and I'll let you talk? They're bringing me mushroom caps here at Costas and I'll shut up. I promise. My mouth will be full. Bob was my boss and on the desk at the News American and Sports First in January of 1984. I walked in. A guy named Tom Robinson was really my sponsor and, as you would say, in charge of the interns. I was an intern at the News American. It all really happened at East Point Mall. I was in the Aladdin Castle arcade. Hey, Brian, you remember the Aladdin Castle at East Point Mall next to the Chick-fil-A? Right where Santa Claus, middle of the mall.
I was in there, Marty Bating, the late, great Marty Bating.
Do you remember Melissa Bating from our class? Melissa's father was, they were in the arcade during Christmas, 1983 Christmas. And Mr. Bating saw me, and I am now in high school. It's my 10th grade year of high school.
You're like 15.
On my last month of 9th grade at Hollaberg, and Mr. Statham will be here. You'll meet Mr. Statham today if you stay an hour, and this will be a thrill for you. Be a thrill for me. So in 1982 or 83 at Christmas time, I'm at the mall. In, let's say, May of 82, I filled out a form with Mr. Bating as a substitute teacher in the cafeteria at Hollaberg Middle School where Brian Poole was with me. And I said I wanted to be a journalist. And I circled journalism on this blue form. And Mr. Bating remembered that. He said, hey, I work at the newspaper. I'll get you a job. That's what he said to me. That's May of 82. I filled it out. I did not get selected to be in the journalism class, which led me to meet Don Moeller. My parents put me in the car in August of 1982. Jim Palmer's about to go against Sutton. Takes me down to the Delville Avenue. Don Moeller meets me at the front door. Puts me in the journalism class with Don Moeller. So a year and a half later now, I'm at the mall, East Point Mall, Christmas of 83. And Mr. Bating says, hey, you still want a job at the paper? And if you think of him as being a little bit like Sam from Brady Bunch, Alice's husband, Sam, Mr. Bating looked a little bit like him and had his countenance a little bit. He was a printer at the News American, the NA.
Yeah. And what's a printer?
A printer's a guy that used to take the hot metal type and put it in so you had a newspaper. By the time I got there, he had an X-Acto knife and some hot wax on paper that glued down, pagination. So he said to me, you want a job at the paper? I said, Mr. Bating, you're going to get me a job at the newspaper? The News American with the great John Steadman? Yes. I said, all right. 3 weeks later, my phone rings. My mother answers the phone. Hey, some guy named Tom Robinson wants you. He's from the newspaper. You might want to take the call. It's my mother. Pick up the phone. Robbie says, hey, you come down and interview. My dad went with me on the bus, number 10 bus. I went down. I probably didn't have a suit on or anything because he told me, don't dress like that. You'll look like a jerk because we're at a newspaper and we're all like mechanics here. So I walk into that newsroom and into the back, which used to be the commissary that they turned into the sports department. And this man was the man that took me under his wing.
I said, huh?
And it'll be 40 years in January. It'll be 40 years in January for you.
I know. Now it's getting.
And I've never put you on my show in 32 years. Shame on me.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed.
Aren't you glad I lasted this long?
So tell your story about how we beat the Reds' ass, and then we can tell some stories. You make me cry, and we'll eat some food.
So here I am as a 13-year-old. All over the Reds. Listen to every game on the radio. WLW, the 50,000 watt.
Who's the broadcaster? Channel. Who was their guy? Nuxall? No?
Yeah, Nux.
Nuxie.
And Jim McIntyre.
Threw a no-no when he was 12, right? You know, right?
Jim and Joe on the radio.
All right. Okay.
And so here we get just, you know, plow right through the Pirates in the divisional, the first year of the divisional playoffs. Now we're ready for the Oreos. Okay.
Hey, hon.
The Oreos come to town. know.
There was a rain out in that series, right? The World Series, 70 World Series? I remember Earl Weaver or Sparky.
You're jumping to 71. We're in 1970.
No, 70. There was a rain out in the Cincinnati Riverfront.
No,
the game got pushed in that World Series.
No.
No?
No, don't think so.
I think Sparky, I heard Sparky talking about it.
All I know is that in the first game there, you know, the first bad thing was Elrod Hendricks, okay?
Thank God for Ellie.
Yeah. You know, and Bernie Carbo colliding at home plate.
I remember this, right.
And there's a great Sports Illustrated picture because the umpire, I forget his name right now, calls out Bernie Carbo. Ellie is tagging him with the glove. Umpire thinks the ball is in the glove. You're out. Ellie has the glove in one hand. Ball is in the other hand. Okay? You're out. He's safe. Sparky Anderson comes out. Ken Burkhart was the umpire. Okay?
I met Bernie Carbo 40 years later because he came in. Sports Legends did a 40-year for the 70 team. Right?
Okay.
And Bernie Carbo came in as a part of it.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
I think Elrod may have left us by then.
But I remember Palmer and Weaver were there. Brooks was there. Paul Blair was there that night. I remember Flanagan was there, too. Right. But, like, the Bernie Carbo thing, now it makes sense that he was a part of it there.
And as the series unfolds, here is the first player who actually understood how to play AstroTurf was Brooks Robinson. I'm playing 20 feet off the bag because this ball is getting to me at 105 miles an hour on three bounces and makes it easy. Of course, he also went past the bag, did his Brooksy thing.
Are you saying Brooks would have been a better Hall of Famer had he played in the National League?
No.
Are you in?
Maybe.
Don't come on this 25th anniversary poop on Brooks.
So anyway, he does his thing, you know, and the Reds go down in flames. I mean, I'm listening to the final game. The final game, game five, okay?
So you're 13?
I am 13 at this time.
All right. Like,
hard to believe.
I mean, you're a 13-year-old boy and your team loses the World Series.
And you're listening to the game on the radio in art class.
I was 11 when the Pirates happened, and I'm scarred by Sister Sledge, all of it.
Yeah, sure.
I know.
Yeah, we are family.
People
say
Willie Stargell, and I don't like it.
So the Reds go up in game five, 3-0. Of course, they get blown out, 9-3. Orioles win the whole thing. Brooks Robinson this, Brooks Robinson that. I am fed up with that. Okay, I can't stand this guy.
You hate Baltimore.
I hate everything Baltimore.
Right.
You know, I loved it when the Jets won. You know, it was the...
Well, you're also a Bengals fan. You have nothing. You won.
The Mets
won national championships when you were like 15, 16. You did okay. And then you had the big red machine.
It was a great time.
Come on.
So here I am. I get to Baltimore. Okay.
Fisk and the Red Sox rolled over for you. All of that.
We're down Memorial Stadium.
No, I'm not going to weep for you.
You know. Well, you know, it's the little things. Okay.
If I were here with Burt Blyleven, I would bitch about the 79 Pirates, but I'm not. You know.
No.
I'm here to praise you.
You're here to praise me.
So, I'm here to praise you.
But this is how big of a man I was at the time.
You took a job in Baltimore.
Come to Baltimore. Okay.
82.
I go in 82.
Okay.
Okay. First game going to Memorial Stadium, getting into the press elevator to go up.
Smelling the crab cakes.
So who comes into the elevator with me?
Brooks.
I am standing next to Brooks like sitting next to you. Here is the guy that I despised in my childhood. And here's my chance.
That's why I've never had him on the show.
Nobody.
Man hated Brooks Robinson during his formative years.
Yeah.
You hate Santa Claus? Come on. Man's from the city. Roots for Pete Rose.
You know,
this guy.
Greatest ball player ever.
Pete Rose. I've already praised Pete Rose.
Total a-hole in the clubhouse.
I only met him one time. He was actually nice to me. I told that story in the last segment.
Well,
Pete Rose.
You know. Well, he wasn't nice to me.
Well, Bob Nussgaard now is into mortgage. But tell me about what you really do so I can help you sell something.
Because
you feed your family still, right? That newspaper.
Yeah,
that gold watch my dad told me about never came, did it?
Never came. Never came.
My dad died so pissed at me, Nuss. I mean, he's so mad at me that I left the paper. You know, he had dementia, so maybe that I can write that off. You thought I was going to die a newspaper man, right? Had you ever met anybody my age that loved newspapers more than me? I loved the newspaper. Yeah. I loved everything about it.
You were a gamer.
It.
You were a gamer.
I loved everything about it. I still do. I'm reading all these clips, and I still love it.
You were the one who I walked in. It's like, okay, I got to do this little crap job here. And you go, when do I get to cover the Orioles? I want to cover the Orioles. I'm there for 10 minutes.
Did I say that?
I need to cover it. You sweated it. You burped it. You threw up on it. Let me cover them. You know? I could do a better job than this one.
Than Rosenthal.
This one doesn't know. You know.
What does Rosenthal know?
You know, Litwin.
He's from New York.
Litwin, horrible. Horrible. Yeah.
I was a critic. I really was.
You know, so, okay, if you're not going to let me cover these teams, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to create my own entity.
This is the God's honest truth, man. I was 15 years old. All I wanted to do was be great. All I ever wanted to be was great.
Yeah.
Like that, I was obsessed.
No, you would be like the kid into kindergarten with the thing and says, just give me the diploma. I'm going to get there. Just give me the diploma. I don't need this 12 years in
between. You think I didn't want to earn it?
You know?
Because you sent me to the Skipjacks locker room when I was 15?
You know?
Why would I want to earn anything when I did that?
You love the Skipjacks.
Skipjacks, I still love the Skipjacks. I love the concept of the Skipjacks.
But the Skipjacks had one.
The Houston Oilers don't exist, and I love the concept of the Houston Oilers.
Well, you see.
I wore this to make you comfortable, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the only kid in Baltimore that is a diehard Oiler fan.
I wore Oiler stuff all every night,
Dan Pastorini,
five nights a week.
Dan Pastorini.
This is a Pastorini jersey.
It's a Pastorini jersey.
Absolutely.
You know?
It fits me, and I got it on the internet for $32, and I love it. Dan loved it, too, when I sent him a text. So he loved it. So
he said they still have those out there?
When I see Sandy McKee, and if anybody was an old school newspaper reader, she's in a NASCAR Writer Hall of Fame. She covered sports but had her own desk overlooking the freeway on the fifth floor. And she
You're at a classy place when the highlight is a desk that could look out a window at a highway.
That was the
luxury.
Even during then, when there was a car chase, Dick Irwin would be on his scanner in the middle of the newsroom. Yeah, we have a perpetrator coming southbound right now on 83 North. Should be passing by the building in about 50 seconds. I just passed Cold Spring Lane. He's doing approximately 85 miles an hour.
Do people know who Dick Irwin is?
They didn't have the, you know, Dick was the police blotter, like a friggin' legend, Richard Irwin.
This guy was the original.
And
Joe
we would all
Friday.
Go over to the window, and Dick would have, like he's watching the horses, Kev. He would have, like, binoculars looking out, and damn if there wouldn't be 10 cop cars coming down. And meanwhile, my car's getting broken into for the eighth time underneath the bridge at 501 North.
Can I tell you Dick Irwin stories?
Night long.
Dick Irwin was one of the great, he was a newspaper's guy.
He was the best ever.
Yeah, that was a guy.
3 o'clock in the morning, he'd come over, we're editing, putting the newspaper together, because we work night shift. That's the thing I want to let everybody know. I work with Bob at the News American, we put a paper together, and I was 15, then 16. When did you leave to go to the Sun? You and Molly
84.
Dunham.
84.
When was it?
In October of 84.
Okay. So I got there in January of 84. In October of 84, you left. The summer of 84, he says to me, I'm down there working at 8 o'clock at night. I need you to write a story. He says to me, Teresa Andrews just won the gold medal at Los Angeles. I need you to call Murray Stevens, her coach, over the North Baltimore Aquatic Club. This is July 1984. Mary Lou Retton's doing her thing. Flo Hyman, the whole deal, right? And he says, you got to call her. So I got my first byline in the News American. Andrews strikes gold, hits home. The true headline. That's what it says. So he sent me my first byline because, like, you trusted me to write a 6-inch piece and you knew I wanted to see my name in the paper. You made that happen for me. And then you left in October?
Yeah, you drove me out.
So but everybody was leaving because the place was going out of business, right?
Yeah.
Tell that story.
Well, the News American was, first of all, I came from Austin, Texas.
Marlo told me he was so shocked you took this gig.
Yeah.
Marlo's like, I could not believe that Bob Nussgaard wanted to leave Austin, Texas.
Sometimes I wonder why I left also.
Barton Springs, pretty girls, coming to the state capitol. The
Texas Chili House, Lone Star Beer, the
National
Beer of Texas.
I went to Austin for the first time in my life 6 months ago to see Springsteen. And they have this Keep Austin Weird. Yeah. Austin, Texas was awesome.
But Austin, Texas back in
82.
I arrived there in, I was there for like 1 year. 1 year in Austin.
Out of college. You know, 23?
No, I was at Pensacola first.
Okay.
Pensacola News Journal. Beautiful cadet paper.
What did you do there? Not sports. Sports? You
know, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, no. And when you're in Pensacola, we had to cover. These were the teams that we covered religiously.
Florida Gators.
Okay. Yeah. No. Alabama, because Pensacola is lower Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Right. Got it.
Redneck Riviera.
Auburn.
Okay. Alabama, Auburn, Southern Miss.
Florida State.
Florida State.
Right.
Florida and FAMU. Florida A&M.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
and the high schools are everything.
And my assignment was that twice a week I had to call around, gather up information. You know, so you had the Saturday game. On Tuesday, I had to fill an entire page.
Are you going to talk for a while? Because you are. I'm going to eat mushrooms.
Eat your mushrooms.
All right, go ahead. So you tell some stories here.
You know, fill an entire page. Okay? And
did
then,
they do hot metal type there at that time? Was this old school?
No, this was...
Modern.
Yeah,
modern.
Still modern.
Okay.
Still modern.
By newspaper standards. Modern by 1981 standards. They had computer terminals. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
They had just come out. It's funny because my original sign-on was Nuzz, N-U-Z-Z-Z, which I've kept to this day.
Don't tell people that. The people listening to this show, they're going to break into some account.
Yeah, they won't see it. So... Anyway, where was
that?
Yeah,
that's delicious. Austin, how did you get from Pensacola to Austin to Baltimore?
So there was a sports writer. She did. Her name was Janice Loeb, and she wrote, and she got a job at the Austin American Statesman.
Oh, okay.
And so...
That was always the end, right?
You know,
somebody would
Well,
go,
you
right?
always find somebody, and then they call. But before I got to Austin, got a phone call from the sports editor at the Houston Post. And he'd heard me, and he wanted me to come on in for an interview. And they flew me out from Pensacola to Houston, and it's like, oh, my God, this is the big time. This is huge. You know, pro town, okay? Oilers, okay? Rockets, okay? The whole
81,
thing.
81, Earl Campbell's falling apart, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, things were bad. Stabler was there. It wasn't good. Go ahead.
So anyway, you learn, you know, the first rule. Okay, you go there, they interview you, they love you, and then they give you the test. Because this was to work on the copy desk, okay? And the test was, here are 50 devil words, okay?
Devil words?
Yes. Where? Not here. Anyway.
I can hear you.
Okay, there I am. So these are the words like, okay, they're next to each other, you know, pick out which one that is spelled incorrectly.
Okay.
And if they're both spelled incorrectly, spell it correctly.
It's a spelling bee.
Which was, this is before you had computers that would spell check.
And they wouldn't
you.
Give you a dictionary.
There's no, this is like, you got to know it.
All right.
And you know when you would take a test, and you know after like seven
and words. There are always words like reluctant, you know, that might be an E-N-T or an A. It's like a word
it,
like
is
that.
Is it two
you know?
N's or one N? Is it two T's, two E's?
Which always takes the comma, not that. You taught me that very early on.
And you just, okay, I know this is going downhill real quick, you know. And of course, I was right.
You failed?
You know, I failed.
You failed the test?
I failed miserably.
You failed the editor test?
I failed the editor test. And the guy calls me up. And he says, well, you know, maybe get a little bit more seasoning, get a little. And that was when I went with my tail between my legs back to Pensacola because I had just blown a job that would increase my weekly pay fivefold, okay, from going my weekly pay at the Pensacola News Journal.
We never would have met them. It
wasn't
meant to be.
Yeah, was $215 a week.
Okay, so you go to Austin.
Then I go to Austin.
Why did you leave Austin, Texas?
Austin.
You're young. There's pretty girls. There's football.
Very simple. I wanted to get back
to the big city.
To a big city, East Coast.
You grew up in a college town.
And I never. And I never.
Columbus.
You know, Columbus wasn't the Columbus of today. Columbus was like, there was Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Columbus.
Right. Columbus was never going to have a big
Dayton, Toledo,
team
and Akron.
Like that, right?
So it was number three in everything until you realize that Columbus
you got
now,
the Baltimore, you chased the Colts out of here. Well, the Orioles won the World Series, which I'm sure you loved because you love Brooks. And then the Colts left.
and then the Colts.
So
left.
I started at the paper in January.
I was quoted in the Indianapolis paper. That
were you?
Oh yeah, yeah. They called me up and they wanted to know like what was going on, and I said, "It's just I doubt it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's done this. Irsay's done this so many times, you know." And they were giving him
the video of him landing on the Gator Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was a classic night. You know, but the night of the move, you know, when I was at, the NA?
You were at the NA.
Yeah, I was still at the NA.
Because I was at the NA. Yeah. You remember the night of the move?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you lay out the paper that night?
We were
March 28, 1984. Go ahead.
We were putting the paper to bed.
All right.
Okay. So.
Who's the beat writer then? Ken Murray?
You had Ken Murray.
All right.
You had Barry Levine.
Uh-huh. Bernie was around.
Jeff Gordon.
Bernie, right?
You know, yeah. So.
But Stedman.
Right. Well, you know, I always blame Stedman. I said, you know, you are the reason why the Colts left. What do you mean?
They hated you.
You know, and I said, well, yeah, come on. You knew Pete. You know, Pete and you were buds. You were buddies with that. You guys could have stopped that. You know, couldn't have done that. Couldn't have done it. It's a travesty. It's a travesty. Okay? Yes.
He called Bob Irsay a different name.
Yeah.
Sort of the name that Lamar called that kid in Pennsylvania. Similar line. Right along that line. Bob Nussgaard is here. He was my editor. He's the reason I have a career. The reason I'm here at Costas and eating these delicious mushroom caps.
So anyway, one call comes into the newsroom. You know, hey, I see something's going on at the Colt complex. Okay, you get one. Then there was two calls. Then it was four calls. Okay, something's going on. And that's when we sent, Gene Boyers. Okay.
I can't
even believe I'm remembering these names.
I got to get Gene on the show, I think about this. Gene's on my Facebook page.
Great photographer. Gene Boyers, a great photographer.
He's out in the desert taking pictures, raising grandkids, loving life.
So he goes out there. I think Barry Levine goes out there. And they have this place cordoned off. Barry Levine, who, after he did his stint in Baltimore, went on to the National Enquirer.
Oh, yeah.
And
Barry's been on the show.
Barry was one of the great
characters
that you'll ever meet. And he weaseled his
part
way.
Part Hemingway, part Hunter S. Thompson, part Maury Povich.
Yeah, you know, and it would take 4 hours to write three paragraphs. Well, it's a little short.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine.
Barry weasels his way into the Colts
complex. All this editor stuff, this is what I was saying. I knew when I was a kid who was a good writer, a bad writer, you asked me why I was so prickly about getting things right. It's because I was around you guys.
Yeah.
I wanted to get things right.
Well,
I wanted to be great.
It's because
I wanted you to love me and think I was great.
You know. Well, you turned out okay.
I turned out okay.
You know, it worked out.
It wasn't for lack of effort.
You know?
It wasn't for you guys beating me up.
You know?
It wasn't for me screwing the lottery. Isn't it great that I'm sponsored by the lottery? Isn't it awesome?
Your whole life has been a lottery, right?
It's like the Pearl Jam song, hit the lottery when he was born, right? You know, like just like that.
You know, but that's true. It's true.
Did you think that 40 years later, well, actually, I screwed the lottery numbers up about 35 years ago, but I would screw the lottery numbers up on the scoreboard page.
Do you know how many people thought that they won $1 million and then lost it because of Nestor?
I had the executive editor of the big, Jack Lemmon called me into a big office. Jack Lemmon looked like Lou Grant, right? Didn't he?
Lou Grant or Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful
Life. Okay. It's when he calls me in and just to intimidate me because they didn't really want to fire me because everybody there loved me. And he shuts the door. He's like, son, I just can't have you screwing up the lottery numbers. I'm in. And all these years later, the lottery sponsors
us. The lottery is sponsored.
And I tell John Martin that all the time.
That is the great irony of everything.
And the irony of 25 years is that I created this radio station to love the Orioles and the Ravens,
with a billion dollars riding, that if you were still doing that, you would have given somebody a heart attack.
Life
and
is
would have
with
dropped
irony.
Dead, and they'd say, "Oh, sorry, really."
I said,
wasn't.
"John, I'll give the tickets out. I will not read the scores and numbers." Marlo says you saved me 3 or 4 times because I had the wrong... See, yeah, you saved me a few times.
A few times, you know. It's like... But we would open up the window and yell, Nestor, get back up here.
Fix the lottery numbers.
Like that. You know, it's like the old, you know, it was the original. You had one job. You had one job to do.
But Nuss, Warren Moon's playing in Foxborough this weekend. I got to go, man.
Yeah.
I got to
go. Not before these numbers get out. Yeah.
I turn 18 with you every time I see you get mad or disappointed with me.
Yeah.
So my wife says to me, like 6 months ago, you and I were together. Brian, you were with us that night, right? We went to see your wife's band.
Right.
We're at Riley's Oyster.
Yes.
All right, so we're at Riley's Oyster.
Their band's playing at Bare Bones here in a couple of weeks.
Bare Bones in Ellicott City?
In Ellicott City.
What's the date on that?
I believe it's August 18th.
I'm in Ocean City, man.
You know. We'll have to cancel.
I'm in Ocean City. I can't go. But, you know. So we're there, and you and I, like, are BSing while your wife's playing. Brian met us out for a beer. My wife's there. Ellen's brother. Everybody's there, right? We leave. We get in the car, and my wife says to me, that guy loves you more than anyone on earth loves you. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, that guy loves you more than anybody loves you. And I thought that was just...
Did you really say that?
She said that. She said, no one loves you more than Bob Nussgart loves you. And I'm thinking to myself...
I protected you.
You did. Now, I mean, so...
And sometimes from yourself.
So here's the story about how WNST was built. In 1984, you leave me in October. Everybody's leaving the News America, and they're all afraid it's going to go out of business because it was going out of business.
Because it was going out of business.
Okay. And I'm a kid. I don't know anything. I'm 17 years old. I'm happy to be there. Bob Paston called me into the little glass office, and he says, Nestor, we need someone to cover the effing skipjacks. And, you know, you seem to know hockey a little bit. We're going to send you up there, give you a pass.
No, Mr. Paston,
I'm only 15. No, I didn't say that. I'm like, I'm going to write like a 17-year-old. You know, and I'm like, so I started covering the games. And they paid me $25 or 50, you know, whatever it was. And I went and did it.
Wait a minute, who used to cover hockey?
Tom Robinson. It was Robbie.
But before there was somebody
George
else.
Taylor.
George Taylor.
Well, he was Evening Sun.
Yeah,
it was Evening
that's
Sun.
Right. He was golf.
At the
golf
News American, I don't know that anybody...
Right.
The skipjacks were like an allergy. Nobody wanted to go to an empty hockey rink
playing
Fredericton.
The skipjacks had... What was the attendance night? Well, it was 3,265. Okay, next night. What was the attack? Well, it was 3,265.
Every night it was the same. And you knew they weren't lying about that, you know. So anyway, they put me on the skipjacks because nobody wanted to go, and I had what you would call enthusiasm, right?
Yes.
Give me that, I'll do
Unbridled.
It.
Unbridled.
Give me that, I will write about it. Do I get my name in the paper? Do I get to cover the Orioles?
Yeah.
Right? Do I get to cover the Orioles if I do this? All right, give it to me.
Because now I've shown you I can do the skipjacks, therefore I should be able to do the Orioles. Right?
It's exactly. Doesn't that serve to stand the reason?
After one story.
So.
I'm good.
So,
I'm ready to go. Me and Peter King, we're ready.
You leave in October of 84, and at some point in early 85, I graduated high school in June of 85. And I got on the phone with you, and I'll never forget this. I snuck out of the sports department. We had this long hallway, and in the hallway was where the morgue was. So the morgue had one door.
Now the morgue
it was kind
is
of the, a fireproof
room. The
morgue
room. Is the library.
It's the library. It's where every newspaper clip
from 1790
from everything ever was in this morgue. And it smelled like an old paper mill. It had this beautiful print smell to it.
That if you lit a match in there.
Everything in there was dusty, like Calvin Statham. Everything in there was old and falling apart. All right? So I went in there and I grabbed the phone and I called up to the Evening Sun. Nuss says I get in at 11 o'clock at night. So there was a break in the paper at night and I call up to Nuss. Do you remember this call? I called you and said, you got to get me out of here.
But I think
this place
I think
is going out
morgue.
Of business, and I'm 17. Was I 17? I was only 16. I was 16. 17? I was about to turn 17. I was 16. I said, Nush, you got to get me out of here. This place is going out of business. I've been here 15 months. I'm not covering the Orioles yet, you know? I said, you got to get me out of here.
It's a travesty.
I swear, I said it just like that. I remember where I was. Mark Miller, the old reporter, came in and caught me on the phone with you, and I was worried. He was doing some story on this thing called AIDS that nobody knew anything about. I remember all this. So I said, Nush, you got to get me out of here. And you said to me that night, you're like, you laughed at me, and you're like, Ness, I'm going to get you out of there. I'm going to get you out of there. Just relax. I'm going to get you. It was like I was in jail. You were like my lawyer. You're like, I'm going to get you out of there. I'm like, Bob's going to get, and I didn't call you Mr. Nussgar. You were just Nuss, Bob. I don't know. I didn't have any respect for any of you other than, because I called Mr. Stedman, Mr. Call me John. And I figure if I can call him John, I ain't calling you Mr. You know? So Nuss calls me one night and says, give me a call. I got some news for you. And it was a guy named Steve Andrelonis, right?
Steve Andrelonis.
And Steve Andrelonis was my original foil. I hated him because he had the job I wanted, right? I wanted Steve Andrelonis' job. And you said to me, this guy is about to get a promotion. They're going to make him reporter. I'm going to have an opening up here for you soon. Just hang out. I'm gonna get you here. I'm going to get you here. And you knew I had a kid. You knew I needed I needed insurance for my kid, right? You knew I had a baby. Yeah. I was 16 years old and had a baby. And you're like, I'm going to get you out of here. And sure enough, you said, give me a call. I went back into the morgue because it was the only place I could make those kind of phone calls. And you said, what time do you get off? And I said, I get off around 11 tonight. He's like, listen, on your way home, stop up at the Evening Sun. I'll never forget this. I pulled up at 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night, maybe midnight, on a Sunday night. I pulled up in this. It was Christmas. It was like 2 weeks before Christmas. And I parked the car, and there were security guards at the Sun. Like at midnight, man, you had to like get a pass. Yeah, News American. Well, you just did whatever you wanted, you know? And I went in, and I sat in Jack's office, and you came in, and Mike Marlowe, who's a legend, came in, and you're like, we're going to hire you. And you handed me this employee handbook that had all of my vacation days. It had all of my legal.
It was like a real thing.
It was a union. It was the Baltimore, Washington Newspaper Guild union book. And I looked there, and I was no longer making $3.33 an hour under the table from the Hearst Corporation. You had stepped me up, and I, Brian, this is 1986, January 86. I had a job. It was like $18,200 a year with benefits and like 10 days of real vacation and six or seven other that you could fake if you wanted to. But I never wanted to fake being off. I love working. And you gave me a life.
And look what happened.
Why did you believe in me?
Yeah.
Why did you want me around hounding you?
You take a flyer or something.
40 hours a week, all night long, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Because you wanted to work.
I was a pain in
your
ass.
You wanted to work. You wanted to work.
I looked just like this.
Yeah. I will tell.
With my hair down. I had long hair,
I will give you the line, you know.
Why?
And your hair was not that long.
It was when I left. 92, it got to be this long.
Really?
Yeah. I had pictures. I had the Eddie Vedder thing going on.
Really?
Yeah. I had a girlfriend that liked long hair. Spent a lot of time at Hammer Jack's, as you remember.
Yeah, that's right.
I did.
You?
Did you ever go to Hammer Jack's with me?
Not with you. Went to Hammer Jack's one time.
I begged you to go, didn't I?
And I actually almost got into a fight with a guy.
What'd you see there?
Yeah. Well, it was, let me see.
You had good taste in music. You loved Springsteen. You loved good music.
Of course I did.
Your wife's in an incredible band.
But this was actually, I think, for my wife's 40th birthday. And we were at Hammer Jack's. But I think this was the new Hammer Jack's.
Oh, that's not the same as the old Hammer Jack's.
It wasn't the same. No, it wasn't the same.
You never went down with me, like, because Zhang was with me. Chris Zhang took me on my 21st birthday to have my first legal beer at Hammer Jack's. Bad English played that night. John Waite, Neil Sean.
Well, let's put it this way. When I came to the News American, okay, So in the middle of the night, so, you know, the work hours were from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m.
It was as soon as you could
possibly get out, okay? But in the middle of the night, okay, it's time for a break. We would walk to the block.
Every night.
Now, this, you know...
Pleasure Palace on this corner. I remember.
You know,
But the crazy Greeks are right in the middle of the block. You get a dog. Yeah,
and come back. You know, it's like, okay, I just came from Austin, Texas.
You know they
like,
have a Pollock Johnny's right down here in Edgemere now? They do? You can relive the experience.
They're still around.
It's legit.
It's a real
mile away. You can get one away. No offense to Pollock. I don't know why you leave Costas to go there, but it's there. It's in the other direction from Drug City where we're going to be tomorrow.
as you're driving home. Okay. So anyway, but the, you know, and I was with Jack Gibbons. Jack Gibbons, you know.
My other saint. He won't come on the show either.
Yeah.
he and Marlo refuse to come on the show. I invite them. I beg them.
Oh,
you're their emissary.
I'm the emissary. Well, these were guys that, I sort of learned from, you know, and got into the whole gig here in Baltimore, and they showed me what Baltimore was all about. And when I first came to Baltimore, and I walked around the Inner Harbor when it was brand new and everything, and people were just...
And we worked across the street.
It was a great time. Huh?
You and Stan Rappaport would send me over to Zingaro's at News American. It's now the Shake Shack. I say to my wife all the time, the Shake Shack, more so than the Chick-fil-A, but the Shake Shack was Zingaro's. It was an Italian joint, and Stan Rappaport would send me over to the Harbor Place, over to the Light Street Pavilion to bring back cheese bread and pizza bread. And I would get fried dough from Anna's Fried Dough.
Were you there? You were there when Matt was there.
Matt.
God, I forget his last name. Big guy.
Matt Cullen.
Matt Cullen.
I didn't know Matt Cullen well. Yeah. I was there 5 minutes with him.
Oh, okay. Well, Matt was, you know, him and Zhang used to go at it because they were both excellent copy editors and headline writers and so forth. But anything that Zhang would write, well, let me take a look at that. It really doesn't convey the actual spirit of the story here. You know, I think I need to change this, you know.
How did a sitcom not exist about a sports
Oh, it's a total... It's a
I
total,
mean, Sports Night, like with Josh Charles and like whatever, but like... The fact that they didn't spin off Oscar Madison to see who he worked with, the fact that Neil Simon didn't write something like that, like I said, the first night
that I was in Baltimore, I was to start work like on that Monday or whatever, and I'm coming into the newsroom. It's the first time I've ever been in the News American building. Now, I left the Austin American Statesman, which had just built a brand new state-of-the-art building on the Colorado River. Immaculate. I come
glass,
into the, I
the
come
whole thing,
glass,
right?
Yeah, right, looking yeah. over a river, not, you know, Lombard.
Basically, the building the Sun built 25 years later with a white thing at the end of a freeway. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, that's now being torn down.
Right.
So I come in there, and there's nobody there yet except for Mark Cram, sports writer.
Mark's been on the show many times.
Okay.
Out of Philadelphia, chronicled the life of Joe Frazier better than anyone.
Great. Okay. Mark was...
Great. Impeccable writer. His father was an impeccable writer, right?
Great writer. Just in the blood. And so he asked me who I am. I said, well, I'm Bob Nussbaum. I'm starting here. And where'd you come from? Austin. And Mark used to have these glasses that he would peer over, much like his father. Yes.
That look
and,
right there?
Yeah, look right there. And he stares at me. He goes, why in the hell would you come to a dump like this? I go, well, I guess that's a great introduction here for starting out your first job, your first day at work. Okay.
That would be like the beginning. Like, they wrote
that's
Taxi.
The
like, Taxi, you know, was like about, like, Louis De Palma. The sports department at the News American was a sitcom.
What was great is the characters that were there, you could not make them up in reality because you had the baseball writer, Ron Borges. Okay.
Legend of writing about boxing and football.
Yes, but he covered the Orioles for the NA at that time. Okay, and Ron Borges had the biggest hothead that you could ever imagine. You know, it's like if you were on his good side, Then he was good until you said something, and then he would flip in a second and just rip your head off on something. So, remember, one night, as only could happen at the News American, this is when they were building the subway, okay? So we're in the middle of the night, all right? And somebody working on the subway, had not opened up yet. Well, they cut the electric somewhere, and everything went out on the whole block. It's pitch black, okay? And Marlo,
we got to get
me,
the Orioles box score, you know, right?
And so he calls up. He says, you know, I'm ready to file the story. I said, well, you got to wait. We have no power here. Well, I don't give a shit. Oh, it's, you know, crap, whatever. He's saying, you do it. Well, I don't care. I can't take. There's nothing here. Well, how long do I have to wait? How do I know? You know, when the lights come back on,
I lost my electricity last week, and we lost some ice cream.
And he just goes off on me, you know, and that's when.
It made him feel good, though.
I have, being an editor, you can, you know, try and talk people off the ledge, and Mike Marlow would be, the louder you got, the softer he would get, you know. Well, I'm not that way, you know, and I fired back at him, you know, and just sort of shut him down, you know, in that particular instance. And then you're great friends after that, you know, because then he realizes that, oh, he's going to talk back to me. You know? I'm not going to, yeah, I don't give a damn. You know, I'm the one sitting here in the dark.
Back to you, you know? You guys controlled my very existence, and you endured me.
Yeah.
And I'm appreciative.
But,
and my wife thinks you love me more than anybody.
Well, of course, yeah. But what amazes me and what the people may or may not have realized during that era of, you know, sports journalism in the 80s, 90s, you know, 2000s until the internet came along and ESPN and the National starts scarfing up people, you know. So that you had some of the best writers, you know, you had.
Here.
You know, Borges. Even Vito.
What do you think when you see Ken Rosenthal in the dugout at the All-Star Game or in Boston? I mean, like...
Well, he's another one. You know, Jack hired him and we gave him, you know, gave him the start. And
Jack sent me... I'll never forget this. Jack sent me up to cover a Capitals Flyers game at the Spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, you're going to meet a guy there, young guy there. Make sure you say hello to him. He's a friend of mine. His name's Ken Rosenthal. And I went up and I met Ken Rosenthal and we were both very young and... Remember us hitting it off, and he was writing for the Camden paper covering the Flyers and whatever. Knew a lot of sports, New York guy, Penn guy, right? Like the whole thing. And I went back, and I'm like, hey, Jack, I met that guy. He's like my age, right? He's got to be 15 like me, right? I was 17, 18, whatever it was. He's like, yeah, I just hired him. He's going to start covering the Orioles next week for us.
Yeah.
I'm like, does Jim Henneman know? That's my first question, you know. But I was introduced. So I would just say this for you and as a tribute to you. Because I got Calvin Statham here. I got John Allen here. We're Costas. We're doing our 25th anniversary. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You gave me like this like place in life to be able to do this. Every time I see Rosenthal or Buster, and the Oriole fans hate Buster, right? Like it's great. Yeah. Like we work with both of them or whatever. I get such a
Tim Kirchin.
Right. I get such a sense of pride. I mean, even when I see Stephen A. Smith, I'm like, Stephen A. used to do my show when I was at Sporting News Radio. When I see Balding, I see all these people in the industry do well, and people are it really reminds me of the humble beginnings of walking in 1984 with this dream to want to do sports. Wow. This guy here, John Allen, in his high school yearbook, it says, what are you going to be? Because he's an Allen and I'm an Aparicio, so we're... It says, John Allen... You remember this, right, Paul? It says, rock star. It said, he said, I want to be rock star. And
why
I think
not?
I think I said I wanted to be sports journalist, right? So that all these years later, that I'm celebrating 25 years of owning a radio station, that the Orioles owner and the Ravens owner so fear me that they won't let me in. Like, you know what I'm saying? They won't let me in. That's how much they fear me for truth. And that you live a dream, right? I mean, you changed your dream. You're doing mortgages now, right? Yeah. Like the newspaper industry is not a dream for anybody anymore in the way that my dad was pissed at me.
Well,
never wanted me to have a radio station.
Luckily for me is that I realized where the newspaper industry was going back in 2001, 2002, and it wasn't a pretty sight. and you had the internet was coming on, Google, being all these things, and you had newspapers that were, that was the main media thing. I would literally go home in the morning or whatever and listen to BAL news. Why don't you just read the newspaper? Because we're doing all of your work. You're not reporting anything. You're just regurgitating what
is in
all,
the paper.
All of us is there. So it's all right. Okay. So it really starts with the Sun and the people that were there, and even, you know, at that particular time, look around. There's a picture of the newsroom, and I just read a story on Etlin. Dave Etlin.
Sure.
It was great that Gary Gately sent around, another writer at the Sun. And you realize how much talent was in that newsroom also.
Knowledge. That's where I would
put it. That was the key, because you had somebody like a David Etlin who had been there for years and could relate back to what Baltimore was in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
I had Dave on the show, Dana Fadley's.
You know, yeah. And he was, you know, and these people were great, just like if you had Stedman,
Jock Kelly.
These people know.
I was in Fenwick Bakery. Have you ever had peach cake?
No.
Do you like peaches?
Yeah.
Jen, can you grab me that peach cake over here? I was at Fenwick this morning, and so I want to tell you this. This is true. This morning at 8 a.m., I go into Fenwick Bakery because I promised Dennis Colossus I'd have peach cake here. So I spent $60 on peach cake with Al this morning. Hey, Lori, I got you some peach cake. All right. So I got this is legit. So I walk into Fenwick Bakery this morning, okay, to get this peach cake. Have you seen anything more beautiful than this peach cake?
That's awesome.
Okay, so this is peach cake.
This is the real deal.
This is Baltimore Positive.
This is real
peach cake, okay? So I go in to get this peach cake this morning. Jane, can I get a knife? Maybe like a good baker's knife. I'll put some sugar on this as well. So I go into Fenwick Bakery. My wife is waiting out on Harford Road for me. And I'm waiting, and they gave me four orders of this, and I had a honey dip. So I look up on the wall behind where there's cookies and there's buns, and I look up and there's a doorway, and above the doorway there's this yellowed newspaper, and it says Fenwick is a great place for crumb desserts or crumb pie. And it's from like 1979. And it's Jock Kelly writing about the Fenwick. And I'm in there. And so I just said Jock Kelly because you're talking about these venerable institutional sort of things that you would never have had in Austin, Texas.
But these people don't exist anymore because the Sun is a shell of what it once was. You know,
Did you see Roderick's show?
No.
All right. So here's something you're going to do with your beautiful wife, Ellen. And the two of you are cordially invited, and I'm buying. Okay? You ready?
Okay.
So, December the 8th.
He's buying.
December the 8th. Hey, John, you're on to this too. December 8th. You're holding December 8th, Friday night. Don't book any rock and roll, Child's Play, any of that stuff. So, Roderick's show was at the Walters. Not the Walters, the BMA. Where Gertrude is, up by Hopkins.
Yeah.
His show about Baltimore, his stage show that he did last Christmas, was one of the greatest things I've ever witnessed. It was 2.5 hours of pure delight. And I ran into Etlin there that night, which is when I invited the Fadleys. Rasig didn't make it, although he's in the show, okay? Rasig's in the show and didn't make it. I took a picture of
him. See, Rasig is another one that I launched.
I had Rasig 2 weeks ago at Coco's with me as part of the 25th. So Baltimore has all of this, and Baltimore has this gem thing of knowledge and what was in that morgue at the News American and what's in the heads of every Dan Rodericks and Marty Bass and Denise Koch and Michael Olesker. And it's been gifted to me from having, like, just done this with Sylvia Badger or with Dick Irwin or, you know, with people, right? So Jacques Kelly wrote about this peach cake in 1978, and you know what? It's still going to be one of the greatest things you've ever put on your lips.
And it's not from 1978.
It's from, like, 2023 this morning. It's fresh as hell. I want you to have a bite. Can I get some – do we have plates at Costas? Everybody's having so much fun over here with Calvin and the rock stars.
Calvin's great.
And the authors that I can't even have any peach cake. So
that's damn good.
Yeah, you think?
No.
Yeah, right. You're right.
See if Matt was here. Do you think you can run out there and give me a couple of these?
Turn your head. Yeah, you see that plane go by? It'll disappear. Mm. Thank you very much. Jen's here. So, you know, it's because of, like, Baltimore and Baltimore traditions. You come here, you get peach cake in season, you get crab, anything you want. Mm-hmm. Those crab mushroom caps I were eating among my favorite things. So today's a day for me to celebrate, but I am so grateful for you, for my childhood, pouring through all of these newspaper clips that I've been doing the last month. My wife will tell you, I've been very emotional lately. It's really weird getting thrown out by the Ravens and the Orioles. Don't you find that to be weird, knowing me as a kid, where my heart and my spirit are?
Well, it's funny.
How much again, I love
again,
those
it's the,
teams.
Again, it's the irony of it all. That
it is,
only you, that loves these two teams more than anybody else.
Has ever loved anything.
Can just piss off the management of both teams.
A guy like Chad Steele. Nobody in the world could ever imagine me taking orders from a guy like Chad Steele. Can you imagine that?
No.
I mean, seriously. I work for great men.
You barely took orders from me.
From great men, correct. I took orders from Larry Harris, from Mike Marlowe, from, you know, John Stebman, from Jack Lemmon.
Yeah.
From good men.
Mike Fairbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kathy Frazier.
Father Fairbaugh.
I learned from all of you, man. I love you. I appreciate you, man.
You did
a good
job.
As much as my wife thinks that you love me more than anybody, I love you even more.
No.
It's true. I love you, man.
Yeah.
I do. I love you so much I got you peach cake as well.
Yeah. Is that?
I'm going to buy you. You had a crab cake at Costas yet? You live over in Kent Island. Wait, all that foo-foo.
Yeah.
All that fresh out of the water. Water to table.
Water to table. I like that. I don't think they even use that phrase.
There you go. Free. I'll take that down to Mako next month. I'll make a fortune on that.
There it is.
Maryland Tourism. Water
to table. It's a good one. You better copyright that one.
All right. That's worth a sponsorship.
That's right. You know. Or it could be other places, you know. Garbage can to table.
All right. I've given you love. I've told you how much. It's 57 minutes into segment. Anything you want to say before you go? Plug your mortgage company something?
Yeah. Lafayette Federal Credit Union. And then go like, where's
that? Give me the thing for rates and stuff. Well, give me a little insider banking thing.
Okay. I'm gonna give you a little insider thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just started at Lafayette Federal Credit Union. They have probably one of the best, most aggressive programs out there right now. It's called a 5-5 arm. I call it the 5-5 solution.
5.5%? Adjustable?
You could be there. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But it's an adjustable rate mortgage. You get your initial rate for 5 years, and then in year six has the potential to go and adjust. And then when that rate's determined, it's fixed for the next 5 years. So there's only one adjustment in a 10-year period. Not too bad. Get a load of this. 100% financing up to $1 million.
So how does someone in my small community, this little AM radio station, get in touch with someone like you?
Like me?
You like that? I don't want to sit here and do sweaty
www.robertnusgart.com.
All right.
Make it simple. Robertnusgart.com.
If you love WNST or you've ever loved me, it's this guy's fault.
Yeah,
it really is. You, Jack, Mike.
I'll blame
all of you. Jack and Mike, they love
me. I personally apologize to Brian Billick. You know,
For what?
The reason why Nestor is here. The reason why.
Where'd you run him in the airport?
I had some dealings.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, and that's right.
Well, Brian loves me too.
Well, I know that.
Yeah.
I said,
certainly more than John lately. Anyway, I'm Nestor. He's Bob. We're all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation.
And you've done a great job.
Oh, geez.
Just keep doing this stuff. Right. You know?
You know what I do? Because of you, and because of Jack, because of Bob, I'm trying to think of Robbie, you know, I report the truth. That's what you taught me to do. I mean, seriously, could I report
a lie? I taught you
like,
to do.
You know
what
me,
I taught you to do
you
know is, don't,
years,
is don't screw up.
Could I open this microphone and lie to people? for money, for anything.
No.
Well, there you go. That's all you need to know.
No.
All right, we're going to be doing, and Joe Enoch gets his credit. I call Greg Landry from Towson Transfers, and I call Bill Cole from Cole Roofing. About a month ago, my wife was out of town with her sister, 4th of July. And I said, I'm going through all this, my 25th anniversary. I really want to make it a big deal. In the era of social, there's all this stuff people have never seen. I shared this letter that I printed in The Sun. You were still at The Sun in 1998. I put a letter in the sports section about starting the station 25 years ago today. And I shared it today. The letter that I paid $1,100 for this, you know, whatever we paid for the space. Probably was like $800, but it, you know, wasn't $50. So I put that letter in there. And all these years later, you know, going through those newspaper clips, I said, what? I'm going to be famous for fighting with Peter Angelos. I'm going to be famous for getting thrown out by Steve Bisciotti because I'm going to make him famous. And I don't know what else we've done. But then I started like looking through all the stuff we've done. And every day of my life when I go out, somebody says, I was in your march in New Orleans. I was Free the Birds. I was there. You're right. The Whiskey Joe's thing we did at the Super Bowl. I bought your book. I was on a road trip. I went here with you. I did this with you. I went to the soccer game with you. I was there the night something happened. Like all of these things that we, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And Joe Enoch, his idea, he said, dude, you should do the 25 greatest moments in the history of your company. Because your company, everybody's had an entree with Ravens, Orioles, you, the station. And I said, I'm going to do that. And then when I started putting them together, I was forgetting stuff. Like the night I took Deion Sanders into Putty Hill Station in his $50,000 mink coat, he walked in and did 2.5 hours of radio with me as prime time. And he brought Cordell Stewart with him. Cordell, when I see Cordell, he still talks to me about it. He said, remember that night me and Deion came over to Parkville with you, man? And I'm like, yeah, I remember. So that might not even be in my top 25. I mean, we've got like, so I'm going to do these stories. And like Trent Dilfer cried on the stage at the barn before he won the Super Bowl, telling the me barn. How much it would mean to him to win the Super Bowl, what it would mean to him. And then 4 weeks later, he goes and wins. So these moments
we've
had.
Made his career.
I mean, the night that David Modell and Brian brought the Lombardi Trophy into the barn and we almost broke Harford Road. I mean, like crazy stuff has happened in my life, right? Art Donovan sitting telling his life story with John Buren and I over Schlitz and Spam. You know what I mean? Like bologna sandwiches. Crazy. So I've done all this stuff and I'm going to feature that one a week, every week. I've come up with the 25 greatest things that I think our company has done. And we're going to celebrate that. And we're going to celebrate that for the next 6 months. And I got that idea from the lottery because they had this 50th anniversary, and it's not like a one-day thing. Like, we kicked that off right here 6 months ago. And they're still, I still have these. We're still, you might win $100. It's number two for you.
Number two?
Yeah. Marlo's number one. You know that. I mean, she thinks you love me the most, but truly, Marlo probably loves me more than you do.
Are these the good numbers or are these the bad numbers?
This isn't a McDonald's promotion. I don't know who wins. I just give the tickets out.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you had some inside information here.
I'd lose my press pass if I did that.
Yeah. Which one?
Bob Nussgaard is my my mentor, my friend. I've just given him peach cake for the first time in his life. He's very happy to know me because of that. I'm wearing my Dan Pastorini throwback jersey, so you'd recognize me.
And you didn't realize that I'd recognize that it was a Dan Pastorini.
Look out, football. Here we come. Houston Oilers number one.
Get your Bum Phillips hat.
Football has... What's that?
Did you get your Bum Phillips hat?
Football has the Oilers, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, always in control. And when you're talking Oilers, you're talking Super Bowl because we're the Houston Oilers.
Oh, my God. Yep. Boy,
Sandy McKee, I used to sing that to her all the time.
The Steelers squashed that one, didn't they?
All right, I got real rock stars here. Calvin Staden plays the piano. We've put 6 AA batteries into the piano, so it's going to work. Oh, okay. John Allen is here. I grew up with John. He's a rock star, and he's one of my best friends. And we're going to talk about him putting Child's Play back together. They're going down to Merriweather. And they're closing down Kix's career as the opening band at Merriweather Post. And I was going to go to Europe and see Seal that week. I canceled everything because I got to be here. I can't not be at Merriweather. Steve Whiteman saved my voice back in 1999. Gave me voice lessons over on Harford Road at the drum store.
Really?
Yes. Steve and I went in the basement, and I was yelling on the radio. and my voice was like this. And he's like, you're doing it wrong. You have to do it from down here. You sing from down, you talk from down here, down here. And he gave me these lessons. And he, I'll tell John about this later, but it was, he would say, you have to warm up. It's like any instrument. You have to warm up. Me, 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 me. He had me do all this stuff. And I started doing that, and I stopped yelling into the mic, and I adjusted the headsets. And Steve
Maybe
White
the adjusting the headsets.
25 years later, I'm still here, and you can hear my voice.
The voice? That just won't stop.
The voice of Baltimore. There he is. All right, Bob's got to go. It's been an hour and 5 minutes. That's enough. I got to play some commercials. I am Nestor.
Go make some
We're
money.
Costas. It's our 25th anniversary for being our guest. Bob Nussgaard will get my first book, which is perfectly edited by Kevin Eck. He'll also get my second book, which will piss him off even more than piss Steve Bisciotti off, because it has typos in it. He's going to get a Wacko for Flacco sign and a See Joe Throw sign. And can't have all the peach cake. I got to save some for Lori and for Calvin Statham. I'm Nestor. We're WNST. Back for more from Costas. It's our 25th anniversary.